Heavenly Father, bless this proclamation for the sake of your dear Son, who shed his blood for everyone here gathered and rose victorious for each and every one to have eternal life. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Indeed, it is always appropriate for us to proclaim these words throughout the Easter season, just as it is always liturgically appropriate to have that candle lit throughout the Easter season, but we're having technical difficulties. As I warned you last Sunday, don't let anyone try to convince you that the book of Revelation should be treated as a scary book. And remember, Revelation is pronounced singular, Revelation. This book is about the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, over everything that stands against the kingdom of God and against the kingdom people, all of you. Your enemies have been defeated by the risen Christ. This book is about the victory of Jesus over sin, death, and the power of the devil and all of the manifestations thereof. This is why Revelation, when properly interpreted, is in fact extraordinarily comforting. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. We know that from Revelation 7 and Revelation 21. What lends to the mishandling of this unique genre, however, called apocalyptic, is that too many popular teachers assume that this book is primarily about future events. And while there are indeed some future events, like the last great judgment, the emphasis of the book is not future, but what has already been accomplished in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation repeats in celebratory fashion, in a circular, cyclical, over and over again approach, the great victory that Jesus has already accomplished for you. The Bible is written this way, and it reflects more of an Eastern way of thinking over and above a Western way of thinking. The seven seals, Revelation 6 and following, the seven trumpets, Revelation 8 and following, the seven bowls, Revelation 15 and following, are cyclical presentations of sin and death which have been overcome by the triumph of Jesus Christ. Even while these also include the glorious last day. This cyclical way is hard for some Americans to understand. For example, in the Old Testament, which serves as the foundation for Revelation, I could say a lot more, and our dear doctor, Scott Ashman, could say even more. Really, you really can't understand Revelation without getting into the Old Testament. The people of Israel, when they celebrated a wedding, and this is to say nothing of the year-long betrothal period, had a celebration after the consummation between bride and groom, a celebration that went on for 7 days. Imagine that. A 7-day wedding celebration. Now, some pragmatic Americans would say that a wedding celebration lasting for more than a few hours is too much. But the cyclical celebration in the Old Testament was the only way to go. And did you notice that number 7? Of course you did. Stemming from last week's sermon on Revelation chapter 1, which brought out the significance of the number 7 and its theme of completeness. In Christ, you are a 7. Praise God. We are reminded that Revelation is full of figures of speech, symbols, figurative language. And if you miss these things, then Revelation becomes utterly misinterpreted and leads people to very frightening and horrific pictures about the future. The Left Behind series of 16 novels written by Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins between 1995 and 2007 sold over 70 million copies in the United States of America. Now, this was not an anomaly, because in the U.S. for the entire decade of the 1970s, Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, sold, get this, 30 million copies. And long before that, the Scofield Bible, which first appeared in 1909, took America by storm with misleading study notes. These present a false view of Revelation and a terrible misunderstanding of the rapture. Though this particular teaching happens to be the most popular teaching in popular American Christianity today. Much to the embarrassment of this view, get a load of this, is that it turns the biblical teaching of Left Behind upside down. In the Bible, to be left is another expression of to pardon or to forgive. We see that very same Greek word as 1 Thessalonians 4:17, where we have the rapture, in Matthew 6:12, in Luke 11:4, the word means to be forgiven, to be pardoned. But to be taken in Scripture means to be seized or to be taken prisoner. That's in Matthew 24 and Luke 17. So the popular teaching of the rapture warns people not to be left behind. But in the biblical view, you very much want to be left. You do not want to be seized or taken to be condemned. The Left Behind series is full of false doctrine and misrepresents the Word of God. And I've talked to many people about this, and they say, but it's just fiction. But what needs to be understood is that the authors had every intent to put forth their actual biblical teaching within these fictional narratives. All of this is a reminder that false views of Revelation produce sheer horror. To complement the Left Behind novel series, a comic book or a graphic novel series was published, and this is the inside cover of Book 1, Volume 1, and it's a picture which is said to predict Earth in the future. Look at this picture. This is on page 13. You see the firemen running frantically. You see planes falling from the sky because certain Christian pilots have been raptured, and cities are being destroyed. There is panic and havoc. Talk about a bad hair day. These are the faces of those witnessing utter chaos and destruction. These are said to be literal fulfillments of the so-called prophecies of the book of Revelation, in their view, which predict the horrendous suffering of those left behind. This version of the rapture is wrong. But our sin has a way of being attracted to it. Because according to man-made religion, the gospel seems too good to be true. And we suspect that God really is going to judge us and condemn us according to our sinful nature. In the course of my teaching about this, I simply cannot tell you how often I've heard this kind of response. But what difference does it make? The important thing is that Jesus is coming back, right? I can't begin to tell you how misleading and dangerous this attitude can be. Of course, our Savior is coming again in great glory on the last day. But how we teach about the current glory of Jesus right now makes all the difference in the world for the people of God who must live in the world right now. The futuristic idea implies that things are still out of control, and it waits for the final victory of Jesus because everything is chaotic. What does such thinking imply? It quite simply implies that Jesus, our Savior, is in still some way lacking and not completely victorious. This view would have us believe that in the meantime, it is Satan who still reigns, and that what Revelation describes about Jesus in terms of his full glory is still in the future. Some would not agree with you singing this morning, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." In Revelation chapter 5, and before our epistle text this morning, Jesus is presented, quote, as a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes. Now you know who the lamb is. He is Jesus. He is called lamb because the clean lamb without blemish qualified for the Old Testament sacrifices for making atonement for the sins of the people. Jesus is the ultimate lamb, the ultimate sacrifice, whose blood atoned for the sins of the world. The complete lamb, with complete power, is symbolized by seven horns, because the horn is symbol for power and authority. Alexander the Great is actually symbolized in the Old Testament, and those horns that he bears are for his conquering power on earth. Jesus is also depicted as having complete wisdom, because he has seven what? Seven eyes. With eyes you see, with eyes you know, with eyes you have wisdom. So he has seven eyes to say he's got complete wisdom. Now, I'm sorry that the picture didn't come out very well on page 14, but it's actually a very important picture. What Revelation 5 is talking about is Jesus, who is pictured here on the left-hand side. You see Jesus in terms of the human figure, and he is opening the scroll being referred to in Revelation chapter 5. He's the only one qualified to do so. The reason why he's the only one qualified to do so is he is the only one who is the Lamb with the seven eyes and the seven horns that you see on the right-hand side of the picture, the one who fulfills what needs to be filled for the salvation of all people. So let's take a look at Revelation 5:12. And let's read together what the myriad of angels are chanting about Christ from our epistle this morning. We read together at the bottom of page 14. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." There is something which immediately stands out. What makes Jesus worthy of these amazing superlatives is that he is the Lamb who was slain. This, of course, refers to his finished victory, to his accomplished death and resurrection, which bound Satan and freed us from our sins. The binding of Satan is not in the future, because by the blood that Jesus spilled on the cross and by his powerful resurrection and defeat of death, Satan is bound now. So much so, please listen carefully because this is about you. So much so that all the child of God has to do is resist the devil, and the devil will run from that Christian. He will run from you, because you are in Christ, the victim and the victor. Not merely the future victor, but the current and the complete victor. That's how powerful the child of God is, who has upon their lips and upon their hearts and minds the name of the Lamb who was slain. We are simply called to believe it and to confess it. This is not merely a future victory. This is current victory. Because Jesus' reign is not partial, but complete. But there's that seven again. There's no getting around those sevens in Revelation. And this time it isn't simply describing the church like we talked about last week. But this time it's thoroughly talking about Christ. I've already mentioned the seven horns and the seven eyes. But this time, look, how many ascriptions are there, ascriptions of praise are there? Seven. Jesus receives or takes through his death, through his resurrection, the following seven. Let's read them one by one. Power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessing. Check this out. The seven representing the complete Savior is the sum of the number three for Christ's Godhood. And it's the number four for Christ's humanity. 3 + 4 = 7. 3 stands for God, who is the Holy Trinity. 4 stands for man, who was made from the earth. And the four corners of the earth remind us of the origin of man. Yes, 6 also represents man in another view. 7 is ascribed to Jesus because he is true God and true man, the complete Savior. Now, at Revelation 4:11, the heavenly elders say to God, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Glory, honor, and power, 3 out of the 7 ascriptions, are ascribed to God the Father. And these are included in the sevenfold ascription of praise to Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb to have glory, honor, and power, because he is also who? God. But for Jesus, there's even more. Even while 1 Chronicles 29 ascribes all of these and more to the Godhead, here in Revelation to the Lamb specifically, he receives wealth, wisdom, strength, and blessing. Be completely honest and don't hold back. Which of us here today would love to have wealth, as in all spiritual wealth that Christ has won through his blood? Wisdom, strength, and blessing. Some people spend their whole lives chasing after these things and never discovering the true source of all riches. The fact is that Jesus, who was slain for you, is for you the wisdom of God, the wealth of God. He is your strength, who gives you complete forgiveness today. He is your blessing, because in him you have the kingdom of God today. Not in some future millennium, but now. The complete Savior has made you completely forgiven and completely filled with his resurrection life. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for prayer.